Yes, it's possible to be broken in a beautiful place. It's possible to be damaged in a beautiful place. And we often forget that this is the place where broken people come. Amen? This is a place where pain comes to find solace and to find peace. I'm going to talk about Mephibosheth. I don't know if you've heard of this name, but this is the word God gave me tonight. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. So if you want to open your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and I'll be reading up to verse 8. You know, the most often misunderstood word in the Bible, I think, is deliverance and what it means to be delivered. If you remember, the people of God were delivered from Egypt, right? God delivered them from slavery. But it happened in one night, but it took 40 years for Egypt to be delivered out of them. It is often a misunderstood word, what it means to be delivered. Can I be delivered and still broken? Can I be delivered and still in pain? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So let's go into it. Now, David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may know him, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his feet and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all of the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Broken, but in a beautiful place. Delivered, but broken. Delivered, but in pain and damaged. This is such a beautiful demonstration of love and acceptance, but it's even more beautiful if you put it in context of the times and the culture in which David and Mephibosheth lived. You know, in Israel, when a king took over another king's throne, the new king would kill the entire family so that no one left from the family would survive to be a competitor to the new king. But David didn't follow tradition. He didn't follow culture. He followed God. It's the beauty of David, and it's the beauty of it's a model for leadership, if you will. David didn't want to be a king. David was a shepherd. He came from a common family. Saul had set up a lineage of kings. And it was supposed to be the sons of Saul who would rule on the throne. Jonathan and Jonathan's sons, Jonathan's heirs. David was not used to opulence. He was not used to priestly robes, eating out of silver plates, being served everywhere. He was used to cleaning sheep dung. He was used to fighting lions, bears. He was a sheep herder, a shepherd. And now we witness his rise to power, and he is in the palace. And he's surrounded by opulence. He's surrounded by fine linens, gold, all the meat that he can desire. Everyone attending to his every need, servants everywhere. And yet, in this beautiful scripture, we find him pacing around. He's pacing and he's asking, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can bless? And that's the beauty and the example of truly great people. When they've been blessed, they want to bless others too. Truly great people, when they've been blessed, want to bless others. And you can't be stingy when you know where you've been from, where you've come from, where you've been, and where God pulled you out from, right? And that's what guides David's heart. We have a God who is a thinker. He thought of us before we were thinking of him. So David's thinking, is there anyone left out of Saul's house? And we all know that David loved Jonathan. He had a covenant with him. And when you really love people, you love their children too. And you want to be as nice to Jonathan's children as he was to Jonathan, right? So he finds the servant, Ziba, and he says, is there anyone left? And he says, in fact, there is someone left. He's in Lodabar. He says, go to Lodabar and fetch him for me. Now, Lodabar means the place of no communication, the place of silence. It's the place where people were taken who had no hope. Mephibosheth, the king's kid, is in Lodabar. And that's where he has to go get him. Think of Lodabar like a refugee camp for broken people. Lodabar, the place of no communication, the place of silence. Do you know anyone who's in Lodabar? Maybe you've been in Lodabar. Maybe you're in Lodabar right now. And you just don't want to communicate. You don't want people to know what you've been through. You don't want people to know your secrets. You don't want people to know your pain. And you come to church and you put on a very happy, well-groomed face, not like mine. But you live in Lodabar, in a place of silence, in a place of no communication. And that's where Mephibosheth is, the king's son, in Lodabar. And when Ziba goes to Lodabar, he doesn't find a strong man like Saul or a handsome prince like Jonathan. He finds a grossly deformed, handicapped boy, curled up in a corner, lame on both feet. Lame on both feet. Mephibosheth was so broken, he was hurting so bad, he could not walk alone out of Lodabar. In fact, the Bible said that Ziba had to pick him up like he was a package. Like he was a package that needed to be care, broken package, and carrying him out of Lodabar. Have you ever been through something where you needed someone to pick you up? Have you ever been through a place in your life where you couldn't get out of it alone and you needed someone to fetch you out? And it's not always the people that are closest to you that God sends. God will use someone unexpected to say, I'm coming to get you out. I'm coming to get you out of Lodabar. And most men feel uncomfortable being carried, but there are some conditions that require that you be picked up. I was looking around to see if there's someone here that I can pick up, and I found my son. You thought you were going to get away.
Are you picking me up?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So I just want to show you what it means to be picked up by God.
Your God.
And he's taking him. He's taking him. And this is what it means to be delivered by God. He's taking him in your, God is taking you in his arms. It's not through your own strength or through your own will or through your own power. But this is how God carries you. If you needed a visual, this is how God carries you. And this is how God carried me. This is how God carried me out of my own troubles, out of my own past. So Ziba brings, yeah, I'll get you down, don't worry. So Ziba brings him. And like a broken bird, he puts him right before the king, right before David. And you go ahead and sit down, son. He brings him and unfurls him before David. And suddenly, Mephibosheth finds himself in a contradiction. He finds himself in a beautiful place. From Lodabar into the palace. He's in a new place, but he's got an old problem. The king looks at him and he says, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth? He can't believe what he's seeing. It is I, my lord. Isn't it funny how people think you should have been somewhere else other than where you are? Do you ever meet some old friends of yours and they ask you, where are you in life? What career do you have? I should have graduated college already. I should have been married. I should have had kids. All of my friends have kids. Isn't it funny how people think you should have been at a different place than you are? And David looks at him and he says, Mephibosheth, he can't believe his eyes. And then Mephibosheth looks around and he looks at the contradiction. An ugly man in a beautiful place. Sometimes you can look at your life and it's a contradiction. Right? You're playing drums in the morning and you're praising God. And somewhere in Romania, your brother goes to be with the Lord. Isn't that a contradiction? Isn't that a contradiction? You know, you're coming to church, you're praying for your loved one at home who's dying of cancer, and then they get taken to the hospital, and it's like the last resort. They're telling you there's nothing left. Isn't that a contradiction? Brothers and sisters, our life, you're in church, you love the Lord, you're in the kingdom, but you still feel damaged and broken. God, how can I be in the palace after all I went through? How can I be delivered and still damaged? How can I have this ugly problem and I'm still in this beautiful place? And then he says, such a dead dog as I am. And these are the words that come out of Mephibosheth's mouth. Such a dead dog. You see, it's not his fault that he's damaged. In fact, he got damaged when he was a little boy. The story of Mephibosheth is his father, obviously, Jonathan and Saul are fighting, and they're both killed. And then there is a servant, a woman, who in fear picks him up and takes him to save his life, to run away with him. And in that run, she drops him. She drops him. As a baby, and then his feet no longer function for the rest of his life. Have you ever been dropped by someone? Have you ever been dropped? It is frightening to drop a child. I can tell you from my own experience, it was one of the most horrendous experiences in my life. You're laughing because this probably happened to you. We put Annabelle on a bed. And it was, we had a king bed because when you get married, you buy a king bed and you buy it like, you know, 10 feet tall. Those of you that are laughing probably made the same mistake. So then when the baby comes, you can't put the baby on the 10-foot tall king bed because the baby will roll out of bed. And we learned that the hard way. But then I remember when Annabelle fell, I jumped and I was screaming and I picked her up and I was looking all over, making sure that she was crying. Instead of comforting her, I was checking to see if her head was broken, if she had any missing parts. It is frightening to drop a child. And yet, Mephibosheth gets dropped by the person who was supposed to care for him. Have you ever been dropped by someone who you trusted? He should have been king. He should have been king, and now he's a cripple. And it's a frightening thing to be living in the past and to be remember why you are where you are. To be reminded constantly of your past. And now the reason your wife can't talk to you, the reason daddy can't show affection properly, the reason you can't have a stable relationship or you can't hold a stable job, because you've been dropped and you carry it with you in a beautiful place, but with an ugly problem. Is there any room in God's house for a crippled child? And that is where Mephibosheth finds himself. He's not ready to receive the blessing. And David's plan is that he has laid out a beautiful table. He's laid out an amazing table full of the most amazing food. Slayed a fatted calf. Clean all the silverware. Open up the guest room. The king's son is coming. That was the atmosphere in the palace. He wanted to get the whole palace ready because they were just going to be graced with the presence of a king's son, of Jonathan's son, his best friend. So David is getting everything ready. And here comes Mephibosheth, broken, on the floor. You have to get off the floor to get to the table. You have to get off the floor because while you're dealing with the damage, God is setting up a table for you. While you're dealing with your brokenness, God has prepared a meal for you. And he's set a table before your enemies. And your cup runneth over. It was that beautiful song the worship team sang before about the cup. Remind me the lyrics again. No. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. And that is what's set on the table for you. But, you know, while you're thinking about your damage and about your brokenness, God is setting up the table. I'm missing my life lying on the floor. I'm missing my children lying on the floor. You know, nobody in their right mind receives a package, a broken package, signs for it, right? Have you ever gotten a package from UPS? And if it's, you check it, if it's broken, you send it back, right? But God, we're all broken packages, brothers and sisters. None of us came out brand new out of the factory. We got cracked and we got broken in the process. And Jesus delivered us like that before God. And God didn't send us back. He signed for us. In his own blood, Jesus signed. So tonight, if you're broken in a beautiful place, you're in the right place. And as you think about your brokenness, he is laying the table for you. He's preparing the table for you. And he's saying, come and eat, come and be with me. Despite the damage, forget those things which are behind you. Look to the things that are before. I'm going to prepare a table before you, for you in the presence of your enemies. Quit seeing yourself as a dog. You may be crippled, but you're a king's kid. You may be wounded, but you're a king's kid. You may have been through divorce, but you're a king's kid. You may have been fired from your job, but you're a king's kid. You may be looking for purpose in your life right now and finding none nowhere, but you're a king's kid. You know, this week, this whole, it was like the wave of death was somehow over young people with this Avicii guy who died, you know, at the age of 28. And you see that so many people die without knowing God. So many broken people, and this was a broken young man who was so broken, eventually it killed him. And brokenness will kill you if you don't reach out. Get up off the floor and remember who you are. Don't stay on the floor, writhing in pain, crippled. Don't reach for a bottle or a pill bottle or whatever things the world is telling you you should do. The Lord has laid out a table before you. And you will eat meals you didn't cook. And you will live in houses you didn't build. And you will enter into the blessing that he has for your life. So if you find yourself broken tonight in a beautiful place, just know that he loves you. He says, come and eat with me. Come and stay with me, and I will stay with you. May God bless all of you. May God bless all of us. And let us stay in this beautiful place with the Lord forever. Amen.